The following program is a special presentation from the Talking Information Center. Please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Talking Information Center's Radio Theater. I'm Laura Kerrigan. I'm tonight's director. All of our programming, including the radio play you're going to hear tonight, is made possible through the generous donations from our volunteers, sponsors, and donors. Tonight, we're bringing you an episode from The Whistler. This mystery series aired from 1942 to 1955 on the West Coast, brought to you by CBS. A character known only as The Whistler was the host and narrator of the tales, and he often gave biting commentary on the actions of the characters. Our show tonight, Three Wise Guys, was adapted from a story by Damon Runyon. He's the writer behind Guys and Dolls. So he likes to set his stories in the 1930s, on Broadway, and you've got bookies and bootleggers and gamblers and chorus girls. So you'll see a lot of that tonight. Now I'd like you to just sit back and listen for 'Tis the Season for Snow, Merriment, and Creepy Whistling.
Welcome to the program that has rated tops in popularity for longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history, The Whistler. Tonight's performance is a special Christmas episode recreated for your enjoyment by the Talking Information Center. So please sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the darkness. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now, the Whistler brings you a most unusual story, one of the most heartwarming stories of our times, especially appealing at Christmas. Three Wise Guys.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Even Broadway, that glamorous avenue of make-believe in faraway New York, seemed empty, deserted. Most cafes and eating places were closed. But the doors of an occasional refuge for those hardy souls who prefer to walk alone in the streets were open. Such a place was Good Time Charlie's Bar on 49th Street, where, on another Christmas Eve, a series of unusual events began, ending in one of the most unusual stories Good Time Charlie has ever listened to. At the moment, Charlie is listening to the voice of a man named Al.
As is well known to one and all, Charlie, I am not one to complain, but it strikes me that Broadway would be very little tonight on the open market.
I know you 10, maybe 15 years, Al, and still, till now, I don't know, you know, there is an open market.
Aha! For the past 12 months that I know of, I am 100% legitimate. Honest, legitimate Al.
Want another rock candy and rye without the rock candy?
Well, I very seldom indulge in alcoholic beverages, but in answer to your question, yes.
I haven't seen you for a year, Al. You want to run over that part again where you tell me you're playing it straight for the past 12 months?
Well, as of last Christmas Eve, I am 100% honest ticket scalper. I do not make a killing, but I get that good warm feeling that comes with being 100% legit.
It feels good to play it straight.
Cozy.
You want to tell me about it, Al?
I do not mind if I do, Good Time Charlie. It all begins a year ago tonight, right here in your strictly high-class draft. Blondie Swanson was here with me, remember?
Yeah, I think I do remember, Al.
Now, Blondie Swanson is one of the gentry which operates on that side of the law as very few calls right, though Blondie himself always feels this is a matter of opinion. But Blondie is not concerned with his racket a year ago tonight. You are busy chauffeuring the bar, good time, Charlie, so maybe you do not notice the sad scene. Yep. It is last year, just about this same time, when Blondie comes in here, his big frame pretzeled with grief.
Hello, Al.
Well, hiya, Blondie. I see you are not so happy tonight. Why not join me in a medicinal rock candy and rye, without the rock candy? I am fighting off a touch of the grip.
Okay, Al. I got a bad case of memories tonight. If rye can pack away the grip, maybe it can take a load off my memories.
Hey, Charlie, two more rock candies and rye, without the rock candy.
I'll slide them down.
So are these conversational memories, Blondie, or shall we give them the clam?
Do you recall a doll named Clarabel Cobb, Al?
Miss Clarabel Cobb? Well, of course I do. She is well known to one and all on Broadway as a leading light with George White's scandals some years back.
Yeah, well, Christmas Eve is an anniversary for me. It was on Christmas Eve that Clarabel left me to marry an honest guy from Akron, Ohio.
There you are.
Oh, drink up, Blondie. Well, up to now, I remember Miss Clarabel Cobb as a doll with Class A judgment. Why did she put distance between her and you?
Well, Clarabel was a gal that didn't care as much about how much money you had as she did where you got it. She felt that my role was ample but tainted.
And this is why she puts on the exit?
Right. I can see now that she was right, but now it's too late.
But there must be other dolls as beautiful and desirable, and not such quizmasters as to where the scratch comes from.
I'll never look at another doll again. All there for are the other guys.
Hey, Blondie.
Hey!
Blondie Swanson.
Well, if it ain't the Dutchman. Well, look out.
Al, Blondie, Yuletide's all around.
Why, I cannot believe my eyes, Dutchman. I have not seen you in these parts for maybe a whole calendar or so.
I've been detained in the West. Oh, it's a sad story. And I can see that all you two guys need is one more sad story. But you're not going to hear none. I got good news for you.
Then you've come to the right place, Dutchman. I always get kind of down on Christmas Eve.
Well, what I'm going to tell you will give you a big lift. Blondie, you and me have pulled a few fast deals together, but I got one tonight that's the softest touch of all. Well, you can listen, Al. We'll cut you in, too.
Oh, I have turned down soft touches before, but not wishing to be rude, I will hear you out.
Some months back, three other guys and me knocked off a tin safe in a factory over in Pennsylvania. It was a cinch haul, and I count we received a dead center tip. The tip was on the level, so we stashed 50 G's in our grip sack and get set to hit the open road.
Something detained you?
Yeah, the cops. After a hot blasting from both sides, I find myself alone, on the lam, with 50 G's in the grip sack. But it's not a clean getaway, and I figure it's better to find a hiding place for the dough, not wanting to get caught with the goods.
I am beginning to get the idea. You're suggesting that the three of us go for this dough tonight and cut it three ways.
That's the idea. It's in an unpopulated barn, under the floorboards. When I decide to go get it, the first guy I think of is you, Blondie. How about it?
I must admit I got no other plans, Dutchman. Nice of you to think of me. Count me in.
How about you, Al?
Well, I am not generally known as a spoil sport, but this prospect frankly holds no appeal for me. I do not wish to join the party.
Is this your final answer?
Yes, Dutchman. You may quote me. I will not go with you. Well, good time, Charlie, that's the way it went. Now, I'm certain I will not leave your bistro that night. I'm negative to the whole scheme, and am nixing it loud and clear to one and all. So imagine my surprise at some later point to find myself warm and cozy in the back seat of Dutchman's ancient Velocipede, dogging it through the snow-covered countryside. The whole setting is so peaceful, I'm catching small doses of snooze. But in between times, I cannot help but overhear the upfront conversation of Blondie and the Dutchman.
You sure this is the right road, Dutchman?
Certainly, I'm sure. I can fly this road blind if necessary.
You're not flying blind now, is... must have noticed that the radiator is percolating again. I think we'd better stop and take on another load of snow.
I guess we'll have to, but I sure hate these delays.
Hey, Dutchman, listen. Must be coming from that little church.
Yeah, yeah. Come on. Help me put the snow on the radiator.
Sounds real pretty, that kind of singing.
You think that's pretty? Wait till you hear real music. The kind money makes when it's crisp.
Hey, hey, Blondie, Dutchman, where are we?
Pennsylvania, Al. Not far from that barn where I stashed the factory payroll.
How can you tell? I, for one, see very little but darkness around and about.
I gotta agree with Al, Dutchman. I get a feeling we're lost. Maybe we better give the whole scheme up.
You two give up easy. I tell you, I know for certain we're close to that barn. And I can tell by that big fat star I've been following for the last few miles.
Oh, yeah. I am seeing a small light ahead, but I observe if this is a star, it is hanging very low to the ground.
I still got a feeling we're lost. Why don't we go back to Good Time Charlie's, which is a lot easier to find.
I don't care how low this star is hanging. I know it's leading me straight. I'm running this show, so you two better seal up. There, look. I'm right as rain. There's the barn.
Well, I do not wish to start an exchange of words, but that star you followed turns out to be nothing more than a light from the window of said barn.
Ah, okay. So somebody's living in the barn. I'll take care of them if they're too hard to get along with.
I vote for getting out of here.
And I myself am not dressed to call on strangers.
Ah, come on, come on. Then cut the gab. Besides, maybe there's only animals in the barn. I don't see no human footprints in the snow, except ours. I'll be doggone. Look through that window, Blondie. Is that a doll in there?
Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, she's a doll. Not only that, I don't think she's feeling in the pink either. Now that we're here, let's go inside and see if there's anything we can do for her.
I don't care nothing about a sick doll. I want to lay my mitts on the grip sack with the 50 G's in it. Come on.
Who's that? Who are you?
We mean no harm. Well, for... Oh, if it ain't Miss Clarabelle Cobb in person.
Yes, Al, that isolated barn in the snow-swept Pennsylvania countryside, so far removed from Good Time Charlie's bar where you're now enjoying Charlie's rock candy and rye without the rock candy. That held a surprising development for you, Blondie Swanson and the Dutchman, didn't it? The three of you had driven there that Christmas Eve a year ago to claim the $50,000 payroll the Dutchman had hidden there. The presence of Miss Clarabelle Cobb in the barn at your arrival was something not even her ex-boyfriend, Blondie Swanson, could fathom immediately. And you were even more puzzled than Blondie, weren't you, Al? Only the Dutchman seemed to have the faintest understanding of what it was all about. So you turned to the Dutchman.
Dutchman, I am not understanding all this. Why do you not inform us?
Listen, Al. You and Blondie better clear out of here for a while. Take a walk in the snow. I guess I'll have to take care of this doll.
Huh? Hey, look, Dutchman. I haven't seen Clarabelle for a long time. If you think I'm going to leave her now and go for a walk with Al, you're nuts.
Besides which, Dutchman, this doll is clearly at grips with some strange malady. I do not think it is polite the three of us should visit in this manner at this time.
Listen, I came here to get 50 G's, not a sick dollar, and a lot of lip from you two. This won't take long, so blow.
But Dutchman...
I'm getting fed up with you, Blondie. I know what you're doing. I've delivered 7 of 8 kids my wife's had, and I never needed no doctor. This one'll be a cinch. Now, will you get out of here?
I cannot help but say this is quite a night for surprises, Blondie.
Yeah.
I, for one, can take winter sports or leave them to someone else. Yeah, Blondie.
We could take the Dutchman's car there. You think Clarabelle would be better off if we got her a doc?
Well, I am new in this racket, Blondie, but if you want an inexperienced opinion, I will say...
Hey, what was that?
What?
Yeah!
Well, Blondie, I am new in this racket, but if you want an inexperienced opinion, I will say Miss Clarabelle Cobb is a cinch mother. Come on, let's get back to the barn.
I wish you wouldn't cry, Clarabelle. No sense crying.
Oh, Blondie.
I know if all of a sudden I found myself with a brand new kid, I wouldn't be crying, especially since it's such a beautiful kid.
You really think he's beautiful, Blondie?
I sure do. He's sleeping, huh?
Uh-huh. Bless his heart. If he only gets a break.
Oh, don't worry about him, Clarabelle. A beautiful kid like that, they'll love him in Akron.
Oh, Blondie, there's so much I want to tell you.
Yeah, but maybe you ought to sleep now yourself, huh?
Not till I tell you, Blondie. You gotta know about everything. Why I'm staying here in Dr. Kelton's barn. About Joe, my husband. He's in such trouble, Blondie. He's in jail.
Come on, Al. Let's go find the gripsack. I know right where it is. Hey, look, Al. This is more like it. Yeah, it's all there. $50,000.
A very likely safe.
Ah, this is all that counts. A fat swash of cash, especially if it's mine. Come on, let's get Blondie and clean out of this barn.
You ain't going anywhere with that Joe Dutchman.
You want to play that again, Blondie?
Same song. I said you ain't going anywhere with that Joe.
You tell me what he said, Al. I don't like what I'm hearing.
Blondie has mouthed the same identical words 2 times around, Dutchman, and I, for one, get the impression he means it.
I do. You didn't tell us the whole story of this Joe and how you came by it, Dutchman.
Now listen, Blondie.
No. I've been listening. I heard everything you said about this factory payroll job you pulled, and you never did say anything about trussing up the bookkeeper at the factory that night.
So what?
Not only that, you make it look like it's an inside job and leave the bookkeeper to take the rap.
So? They gotta nail somebody for it. Why are you building such a case for this cluck bookkeeper?
This cluck bookkeeper, Joseph Hatcher, happens to be Clarabelle's husband. That's his kid you delivered, Dutchman.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Did Miss Clarabelle Cobb tell you all this, Blondie?
She told me plenty. This Joseph Hatcher's been cooling in the clink ever since. He was doing a special bookkeeping job for this factory. Came here from Akron to do it. He's a right guy, an honest guy. Or can you understand that, Dutchman?
Here, Blondie, here's something honest I understand.
Hey.
Yeah, a gun.
Easy, Dutchman.
Shut up, Al. Now look, Blondie, I've been patient with you. I know you're soft for this doll, and that's your business. But you're interfering with mine, Blondie, and I don't like it. Now let's get out of here with the dough, and quick. I said come on. Let's get going.
Dutchman, please, put the iron away. It is not in keeping with the season to pull a heater on Blondie. In addition to which, this shouting is apt to wake that kid who is pretty tired character like his mom.
Now you're going soft, Al. What's with you two?
Listen, Dutchman, Clarabelle's husband don't know she's living in this barn. When she heard they'd salted him away on a bum rap, she came here to try to help him. Then she found out she was going to have a kid. And she looked up a doc here, a guy named Kelton. Clarabelle's got no dough, but Doc Kelton gives her first-rate care up to now. Even fixes it so she can stay in his barn. It's not great, but it beats living in a snowbank.
Ah, stow it, will you?
The heater, Dutchman.
Yeah, okay. But I'm still running this show, wise guys. And this is what we do, Blondie. Here's the grip sack. Take my crate out there and find this Doc Kelton character. Pay him off for what he's already done for the doll. Give him some more for taking care of her and the kid from here on in. Then bring the grip sack back here and we'll blow.
Yeah, you bet, Dutchman.
You could tell this doctor a couple of things for me. Tell him to get Clarabelle and the kid to a hospital where they belong.
Sure, Dutchman, sure.
And tell him till now we didn't need no doc, that the Dutchman took care of everything. Perfect. And that the mama and the kid are doing nice. Real nice.
It was almost midnight on Christmas Eve at Good Time Charlie's Bar on West 49th Street. As Al continued his amazing account of the story of that other Christmas Eve that crossed the lives of Blondie Swanson, Miss Clarabelle Cobb, and her newborn son, the Dutchman and his grip sack containing $50,000. As Al continued talking to Good Time Charlie, a faraway look came into his eyes.
So you see, Good Time Charlie, that's good. It is no more than small wonder that since all this takes place a year ago this very night, me, Blondie, and the Dutchman have settled down to 100% legitimate endeavors.
Yeah, sure. Why not? A three-way split on almost 50 stolen G's is a cinch beginning to the straight and narrow.
You are laboring, as they say, under a misapprehension, Good Time Charlie. I see now where it is only fair I tell you the rest of this story. After Blondie makes the deal with Doc Kelton to get Miss Clarabelle Cobb and her brand new kid out of that barn and into a Class A hospital arrangement, the three of us are once again in the Dutchman's hot rod, beating it along the streets of some pint-sized burg in Pennsylvania, thinking to leave this territory for them as wanted.
You know, maybe age is catching up with me. I ought to feel great right now. We still got nearly 50,000 clams in that grip sack. Somehow, I don't feel great at all. You did bring the grip sack back from Doc Kelton's, Blondie.
Yeah, sure I did, Dutchman. The grip sack's in the back seat with Al.
Funny. It don't feel good. And it should.
Perhaps a touch of rock candy and rye, without the rock candy, would warm your heart, Dutchman.
Well, maybe so. Pass up that bottle.
I'm willing to do this, but the bottle will be of small comfort, as it is empty.
Oh, well, thanks for nothing. Well, I'll just nudge the motor and we'll blow this bird. Get back to native territory. New York ought to look pretty good.
Hey, better slow down, Dutchman. The law is gaining on you.
Oh, great. Never have I seen such a night in my life.
That red light back there was no Christmas tree ornament. You should have stopped.
Sorry, officer.
And you're in a church zone clearly marked for 20 miles an hour. 40 is too much.
We's hurrying home for Christmas, officer.
Carrying toys for the kiddies in this tub, huh? I'll bet. I better have a look around. Uh-huh. What's in this grip sack?
Nothing, officer. It's as empty as a grip sack as you'll ever run into.
Yeah.
No need to open it. It's empty.
Well, you're right about that, mister. There's nothing in there.
Yeah. Huh?
Easy, Dutchman.
But you're sure? It's empty?
Sure. I'm sure. Weren't you?
Yeah, sure. I was sure. I just wanted you to be sure.
Yeah, carrying nothing but empties, huh? You guys empty this bottle all by yourselves?
Well, this bottle is once full of medicine, officer. I myself have been warden off a touch of the grip. I am now, in the pink, as the saying goes.
Wise guys, huh? Three wise guys. You know, if it weren't practically Christmas, I'd haul you in. Go on now. Get out of our town. Oh, yeah. And Merry Christmas, three wise guys.
Yeah, yeah. Same to you.
Dutchman, I wanted to...
You know, Blondie, a while back you accused me of not telling you the whole story of that factory payroll job. Seems to me you forgot to tell me something pretty important, too. What is it about that grip sack being empty of nearly 50 G's that I ought to know?
Well, I figured to fill you in, Dutchman, you see.
Hey, look, Blondie, Dutchman, it's that same little church.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know something? It's a miracle. I don't know yet what happened to that nearly 50 G's in the grip sack, but if that copper had caught us with that dough, we'd be on our way to the clink right now.
An astute observation.
Yeah. Well, you see, Dutchman, when I called on Doc Kelton tonight, I left all the dough with him, the whole 50 G's. Told him to give it back to where it belongs. Told him enough more that the doc is sure he can spring Clarabelle's husband out of jail so him and Clarabelle and the new kid can be together.
Hey, this Doc Kelton, he's a right guy?
Oh, I'll say he is. Why, he even agreed to give us a head start for the Pennsylvania border before he notifies the law.
This is a right guy?
Yeah, and we better oblige the doc and ourselves by making the border ahead of the cops. Hey, you know, that copper was right. Three wise guys, he called us. If we wasn't pretty wise, we'd have all that cash on us when he pulled us over to the curb. I think it's a good idea we stay right on being three wise guys. I'm through stretching my luck. From here on in, I'm going to play it straight. And I'm still running this show, so you two wise guys are going straight with me. Okay?
Okay.
Agreed.
Ah, wonder how far it is to that border. They got a funny little burgs here in Pennsylvania. What was that one we just left, Blondie?
Oh, I saw a signboard back there a ways. That burg is known as, Bethlehem.
And so, on a night before Christmas in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, three wise guys were strangely touched by the spirit of the season. A spirit born in another Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. And tonight, on the eve of another Christmas, may we hope that this same eternal spirit will someday bring in to wise guys throughout the world the understanding that the future of the peoples of Earth rests in goodwill toward all men.
Remember what I said at the beginning of the program, friends, that you'd find tonight's story unusual and heartwarming. Now, wasn't I right? I'm sure many of you recognized it as one of the late and great Damon Runyon's most famous tales. Tonight's performance was produced and directed by Laura Kerrigan and engineered by John Shea. The show featured the voice talents of Don Smith as the Dutchman, Grant Baxter as Blondie Swanson, Rick Mason as Al, John Kopech as The Whistler, George Krein as Good Time Charlie, Paula Dugan as Clarabelle Cobb, Brian Kling as the officer, and me, Jane DeGrenier, as your announcer. We would like to thank the Abington, Duxbury, Halifax, Hanover, Hingham, Marshfield, and Scituate Cultural Councils who made this production possible. Until next time, good night.